I think more from a brand perspective in or a modality, right? I think we're still early innings in terms of assisted stretching, right? And I believe we are where yoga was, call it 15, 20 years ago, right? Like people that did yoga back in the 80s, 90s, right? I mean, there weren't a lot of that. There weren't a lot of yoga studios around, right? It became more mainstream, right? There's yoga studios everywhere. Now, will there be as many stretching studios across the US or across the world as there are yoga studios? No, I'm not saying that, right? But I do think there's a long runway ahead of us. And that's going to come down to people saying, okay, the benefit, especially for guys. I mean, frankly, we have a lot of conversation with prospective clients, right? Who's their wife or partner will say, you know, you should go to my yoga studio, or you should go to a yoga studio. And a lot of guys don't want that vibe.
Welcome to Franchise Empires, where aspiring entrepreneurs learn exactly what it takes to become a successful franchise owner, from one location to 10 and beyond. I'm the Wolf of Franchises. Hey everyone, it's the Wolf. Today in the show, we have Steve Heitzman. He is a 6-unit stretch lab owner that bought into this franchise in 2019 with his wife. Today, they still have 4 more units left to develop on their goal to own 10 different stretch lab locations. Steve tells us all about why customers love this brand, what his unit economics are, and why he kept his day job for the first 3 years of owning stretch labs. Enjoy the conversation.
The Wolf of Franchises is the CEO of Wolfpack Franchising, as well as a creator at Workweek Media. All opinions expressed by The Wolf and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Wolfpack Franchising or Workweek. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The Wolf, Workweek, and Wolfpack Franchising may maintain positions in the franchises discussed on this podcast.
Where I'd like to start is I was having a conversation with, he's an angel investor, venture capital guy, and he said that a stretch lab changed his life randomly because, you know, we're talking about franchises. And he said, man, I had the worst back problems. I could barely walk at times. And he said he went to one of these stretch labs and now he got his brother into the biz and he's running some stretch labs. But he said that going to these locations, basically he said, like, you know, he's being a bit dramatic, but he's like, it saved my life or it definitely changed his life. So what is it about these things that, you know, what's going on? Give us a scoop here, man.
So, you know, what's going on, it's one-on-one and it's customized. So for that example, right? So we're doing, everybody that comes in, right? We want to know all about you. We got to get as much info as we can. Why are you here, right? Why are you here today, right? But where do you want to be down the road? And based on that information, that info is really directly to our flexologists. They're highly trained. We can talk more about sort of our training program and why that really legitimizes everything that we're doing, right? So that somebody like that gets those results. But we're then going to work with them. And I mean, I got into this because of back pain myself personally, right? And it does. And what's happening is we are stretching those muscles, which are allowing, it's reducing tension, right? And it's allowing our body to move the way that it's made to move, right? And if we enable that, right? And lots of times with folks, because of our lifestyle, because we're, you know, I don't know if that dude was sitting all the time or he's traveling on a plane, but if we're able to kind of get our body back the way it's built to operate and function, right, and move, and stretching enables that, then that pain can go away. And so the example you have there, I mean, I don't hear it daily, but I've heard it many times over the last 5 years since I opened my first studio. So it's that customized one-on-one approach. And then the type of stretching that we do, PNF stretching, it's basically a contract and relax of the muscles. And that allows the magic to happen. It's all science backed and based. It's legit.
Well, no, I mean, I was taken aback by that kind of reaction. I was like, whoa, I didn't realize. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I was a soccer player through college, very much into fitness. So, you know, always known the benefits of stretching, at least as far as like injury prevention goes and just general mobility. But yeah, that kind of results was really cool to hear. So you mentioned the flexologist. That was one of the questions I wanted to ask, is just learn more about, you know, if a customer walks into one of these locations, who is that person stretching me? And, you know, what's the qualifications, that kind of stuff? You know, can you tell us more?
Yeah, sure. So a flexologist, I mean, they can come from a variety of backgrounds, and I can hit on kind of what some of the key ones are. But in the end, before we hire anybody and put them through our training, they've got to have not a single specific certification, but they've got to have a certification that's within our list of things that are legit. We say, okay, therefore, basically, you've got the education and the background to be able to pile on our training on top of what your experience and background is. And ideally, and for 95% of my employees and flexologists, and I think this applies across the stretch ops system, it's a degree. You have that degree, you can take our training, and you can then be hands-on and really sort of put the stretching to work with clients with all body types, right? Because we're not solely working with athletes in sort of these prime specimens, right? We've got athletes, but we've got folks that want to get back to, you know, their glory days, right? Which might've been 40 years ago, right? They were a collegiate soccer player, but now they're 65, right? Like, man, you know, I used to move so much better. So in terms of what we're looking for, exercise science is, if I see that degree on a resume, like, I want to talk to you. Exercise science is great. Massage therapy can work. Yoga can work. Physical therapy can work. So that sometimes we get a lot of PT aides, right? So these are folks they're not doctors of physical therapy, but they've gone through, in many cases, 2-year school and degree. And so they're assisting with DPTs in their clinics. That's the typical path for those folks. So they've got very good body knowledge, physiology, anatomy. And those are really the key things. It comes down to physiology and anatomy. Do you understand how the body works? Can you name muscle groups? When we interview flexologists, we kind of put some softballs out there, right? But I want to hear that you can name, you know, the muscles of the body. You don't have to go through the whole thing, right? But you know where your hamstrings are and your quads, right? And let's get a little bit deeper in your psoas and your piriformis, or the structures around your shoulders, right? And your scapula. They've got to have that education and background to then be able to apply the training that we're going to put them through. So then sort of segue that to our training. So all this comes through the franchisor, right? It is a accredited program. It's the only one within the stretching business, I would say, right? That is accredited. And we've got online modules you've got to take. You've got to pass assessments along the way. You got to pass a test. You pass that, then you show up for 2 days of in-person training where you basically put everything that you learned online to work. You get through that. There's an assessment at the end of that. We then have 20 hours of onboarding where you're essentially practicing everything with, in the case of my business, it's with myself, my wife, our managers, and sort of the leaders across our team, but then also our flexologists, right? So we're giving them active feedback, and we've developed our own sort of progression of, okay, you just got out of training. Your first 4 hours, you need to focus on this. Your second 4 hours, you need to focus on that. And we've got 5 of those 4-hour blocks to hit your 20. So that when you get to the end of those 20 hours, you've now gone through essentially almost 80 hours of training. And number one, you know how to stretch the right way, the safe way, the effective way. But also a big part of our service is the connection in the dialogue, the conversation, the rapport you're going to build with the client. Because we find that the majority of our clients, now they don't want to come in and have like a master's program on how the body works and know all the finer points, but people want to know what's going on. And what we know is if I come in with an issue and I tell you what my problem is, then if you're doing something to help me get there, if you educate me along the way, then I'm going to be like, okay, you know, Christy listened to me and the stretch that she just performed, as she was educating me during it, she relayed that back to my golf swing and those things. I'm be like, okay, I'm coming back. And that's what we got to do. I got to create that hook on that first interaction so that I want to come back in and then ideally, you know, be on Christy's bench for the next 3 years, you know, because
yeah,
meet my needs.
Wow. All right. So it's good to hear this whole, I mean, certification program. And generally it sounds like, you know, the target kind of employee is someone with some type of health and fitness background, from at least like an education and degree perspective. So moving towards like the actual service, right? Like if I walk into one today, you know, for me, it'd be the first time, but let's just say, I guess, your typical customer.
Yeah.
How long's the session? You know, am I in there for a half hour, an hour? How long am I sweating like this? Or is it painful, like in a good way? Because you get a good stretch. It's not like, you know, it's not a walk in the park.
Yeah, right. It's
yeah, what's that like?
Even from a sauna in that way, that's for sure, right? You don't walk out, you feel good when you're done, right? But we're not playing like, you know, spa music in the background. So in terms of what you walk into, for the first visit, we always want folks to come in for 50 minutes, right? Now, on an ongoing basis, StretchLab offers basically two services, either a 25 or a 50-minute stretch. And that comes down to, and there's a lot of things that could go into what we would recommend, but we're always going to recommend one or the other, right, in a frequency. So it's how much time should you be here for the stretch, 25 or 50 minutes, and what the frequency is. Typically, that's going to be once or twice a week. So you come in, it's all open air, right? So it's different from our typical massage studio or spa where they're sort of their own rooms right in behind closed doors, right? 10 benches, all out in the open, music's playing in the background, and you're on a bench. So we've got 10 benches out there and you're working, and it's that one-on-one stretch. You're not sweating, right? You are, I mean, people need to wear comfortable clothes, right? Because you're on your belly, you're on your back. You know, you're moving around, your body needs to be able to move freely. You get done with that 50-minute stretch, you're not sweating, you need to drink a lot, right? You're moving the body, just like if you get a massage, they're going to tell you you need to hydrate and put those fluids in your body. Same messaging we give to our clients as well. Hydrate, continue to move well after that first session. You might be a little bit sore, right? Because your muscles have been stretched in ways that you're not used to. But yeah, I mean, there is somewhat of a euphoric feeling after those first few stretches, even still. I mean, my goal is one, if ideally I get two stretches a week, it usually comes down to one for me. And I still feel great every time I get off the bench.
That's amazing. I've been trying to get my flexibility up and it's just not working, man. You know, like you said, I'm far from 65, but I'm definitely not the way I was in my collegiate days. So maybe I should hit a stretch lab, and I do have one locally. So
you definitely should.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing, right? Like you want to get your flexibility up, right? But you're a smart dude. Well, if I know that, right? But you don't know how to stretch necessarily, right? You don't know the right way to do it. So we've got a progression, right? We have a very specific progression of stretch A to B through 26 stretches on that first visit. And it's all in a order for a reason, right? Larger muscles to smaller muscles, the level of tension we want to see, or we're communicating that back and forth. So you want to get better in flexibility. You don't know how to do it. And I mean, I'm the same way. And I'm in the business of it, right? We don't take the time on our own to do it, right? So it's kind of one of those things where you got to, you know, if you want to progress, you got to put some action behind it, right? Be it, you know, be it your flexibility or building a business, whatever it is, I've got to dedicate time towards it, right? And if you schedule a stretch lab session, right? Now, okay, I've got an hour on every Thursday afternoon, right? Where I'm going in there and I'm focused in on this, right? If you do like that, then you will make progress towards wherever you want to go.
That's a good segue into kind of the business side of things, where you mentioned that the typical program seems to be like a 25 or 50 minute stretch either once or twice a week. So is that effectively, you know, if you're a franchisee, what you're quote unquote selling, is it like just basically two membership models and that's it? Or is there more to the business as far as services provided?
Well, in terms of services provided, that is essentially it, right? We are, all that we do in our studios is stretch. Now, in some cases, I do have an ancillary service, which is compression therapy, right? So if we use the Normatec product, right? But that, and you'll see that in Restore Wellness, they've got compression, and a lot of our competitors will have compression as well. But for all intents and purposes, we are strictly focused in on stretching. Yeah. So from a franchisee, that's what I'm offering, right? My goal to get you in for that first visit is a 50-minute stretch, right? We're membership-based model, right? So then I want to sell you on a membership that is, again, back to, it's either a 25 or 50-minute stretch, and it's frequency, right? You want to come in essentially once a week, which would be what we call a 4x membership, four times a month, or you want to come in twice a week, and that would be an 8x. We have family sharing as well. But yeah, to keep it simple, and I'm a big believer in keeping things simple, right? So that we can execute on it flawlessly. That is essentially what we're offering and what our sales pitch is for folks.
I'm a huge fan of that as well. I think it's funny, like a lot of the impressive food franchises out there, like they all started super simple, right? Like McDonald's was the burger, and you know, it's been decades and decades and decades. So now their menu's pretty expanded. But then you even have like newer companies like a Raising Cane's, who all they sell is chicken fingers. Like that's it. Five menu items, it's all chicken fingers. So I just think it can be a lot more scalable and a lot easier of operations if you really only have one or two core products. And it sounds like, you know, you guys have basically two memberships, which makes it easy for the franchisee. And you said too, 10 benches. So, I mean, and it's open air. So like from a construction perspective, it sounds like if you're picking a site, right, it's just, I mean, I've seen these in strip malls, so I know strip malls are a good fit, but pretty much you just need an open box and you're putting the benches up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need paint on the walls. You know, in some cases I've got to pour a slab, but I've got some flooring. I got paint on the walls. I've got my benches, my front desk, at least all my studios. I think the majority have, you know, a single restroom in the back. We've got, in some cases, a tiny office, others a little bit bigger. We've got a couple of our studios have larger sort of offstage space for training. Yeah, and that's it, right? So if cost to entry, you know, construction prices continue to go up, right? So I'm paying a hell of a lot more today in 2024 than I was when I opened my first studio 5 years ago in terms of the build out. But, you know, if you look across, I think the general franchising space, right? And I know that, you know, with conversations I've had, that attracts a lot of people to this model because equipment is on the cheaper side compared to like big gyms, if we're going to talk in the boutique fitness space, or clearly way less expensive than a restaurant. And size-wise, 1,000 to 1,500 square feet, you know, sweet spot really right in the middle there, 1,300 to 1,400 square feet is what we need. And you're off to the races.
And with 10 people, or I think you said 10 benches, sorry.
10 benches, yeah.
You know, what's like a typical location do from a staffing perspective? You know, do I need like 14 flexologists, part-time, full-time between one unit? Or, you know, have you found like kind of a sweet spot there?
That is, in an ideal world, you know, well, it's always going to be driven off of my membership base, right? So I'm going to staff accordingly based on the members. Now, I want to have 80% of my business, and I think some studios even outperform that number, so good for them, but 80% of my business being my members, right? And then I've got to have additional capacity for new clients to come in. And then we have some folks that, you know, are averse to memberships, right? So they'll just come in and maybe they'll buy a package and or they'll just continue to pay a la carte for a single session, right? But to answer your question, you know, it's going to be based on how big my members are. For me, yeah, I've got some studios that are less than a year old and others that are 5 years old, right? So varying levels of membership. So it's going to be at least seven flexologists, six to seven flexologists, but then it can be up to 10 to 12, right? And that's going to, again, be based on the member base, you know, not all, you know, depends on the market too. I mean, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, strong market. I've also got studios in Columbia as well. There are studios I know in Manhattan, right, that are crushing it and they've got huge member bases, right? So they probably have a lot more folks on their staff than I do.
For sure. I mean, but even that 6 to 7 range for a market like Charlotte, I mean, that's, you know, relatively to other concepts, it's actually pretty manageable. You know, like fast food joints are running 20 plus locations or 20 plus, you know, total headcount just to get a location through 7 days a week. That's interesting. And on the membership side, you know, we've spoken to some boutique fitness, like F45s of the world, where they seem to have within their model, like a target membership volume, where they know generally, and like you just mentioned New York, right? This is going to vary based on market. But have you seen something where you're like, all right, once we get to this, we're generally starting to break even and then everything else becomes kind of profitable?
Yeah. So I want to be 120 plus members, right? Where I'm breaking even, right? At least on my monthly P&L. So we know that. And, you know, and then after that, it's continuing to, you know, manage expenses, grow the revenue, continue to grow the membership base to get that, you know, studio performing, you know, where we want it to go. But that's the number that I target, right? So I've got a studio right now that it's under construction and that's where I will target. Okay. That's where we want to be when we open, right? And we'll have, you know, soft opening and grand opening events that will lift that number. We can do a lot of work ahead of time to build that membership base so that, you know, when I open or soon thereafter, right, I am essentially running a profitable business.
So from launch day, you're saying?
Can be. Yeah. I mean, I have been in that case with a couple of my studios where we're in the black right out of the gates. Others, we haven't done as good a job, then we've got some catch up to do.
Wow. That's like reminds me of Orange Theory, where they were doing that all the time. They had launched and they were already well into the black. So
Yeah, I mean, my first studio, we opened with over 250 members right out of the gates.
When was that? When was that first studio?
That was pre-COVID, so that was May of 2019. Now, part of that was we spent, so it was new construction, so my pre-sale time was longer than I would have liked, just because I was started selling memberships in January of that year. It didn't open until essentially Memorial Day. So I had a long time to build it, right? But we worked our tail off. And so by the time we went through that soft opening weekend, we were north of 250. And yeah, I mean, it was gangbusters. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. But can you talk us through the mechanics of that? Like this pre-opening membership. See your Facebook ad or your Instagram ad, you know, does that just mean like I'm reserving my spot as a member, or is my credit card getting charged in January, even though you're saying, you know, maybe the ad says grand opening in 3 months, or is it you become a member and then on opening day, you get a credit card charge and you can like actually go in for business?
Yeah. So how it works is, so I'm marketing studios coming, but specifically I want to sell those pre-sale memberships because we offer a discount. We offer that discount for the lifetime of your membership. So if you join now and I'm not open yet for 2 months, you maintain that pricing as long as you stay in good standing and you maintain your membership. What I want to do, so Wolf, you see my ad, you submit your information, and I'm picking up the phone, I'm reaching out to you, and I want to get you to a pop-up event, right? So let's say I'm at Orange Theory or I'm at Club Pilates, right, a sister brand of ours, next week. It's nearby where our studio is going to be, and I'm going to offer you a free stretch. So you're going to come in, you've never had an assisted stretch before, I'm going to give you a 15-minute free stretch so you can check it out. Right? See, okay, what's this all about? Is this for me? I'm going to, while that's not a 50-minute stretch like when I'm in studio, it is a good enough taste that people are like, heck yeah, this is what I want. So then I'm going to sell you a pre-sale membership. If you buy that membership that day, I'm charging your card, right? And then you basically have secured your spot. And then I'm communicating to you. So when I open in 2 months, right? I'm like, Wolf, we're opening next week. Let's get you scheduled. Let's get you on the book so that you can get into your rhythm, right? And so then now you've essentially paid for your first month, right? And then we get into month two, three, and beyond.
Damn, that's phenomenal.
It's a great way from a franchising and a startup perspective to build a solid foundation underneath you so that you are really rocking and rolling when your brick and mortar is ready to go. And the nice thing about it for us is all I need for those pop-up events is, I would say I need staff, right? So one to two flexologists, right, that I've trained. Portable massage table I take, right? We set it up. I've got a table. I was in an Orange Theory a couple of days ago down in Columbia doing exactly this. And we're advertising what we're going to do. And we put people on that bench for 15 minutes and they get off. And we're showing them the benefits of a stretch on membership and answering their questions and hopefully selling the membership.
What's the dynamic there between like you and an Orange Theory franchisee? Not that obviously it's a different service, but still, is that like a...
For like competitively, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If I was an Orange Theory, like, I don't know, why would I want someone else selling a membership, you know?
Well, yeah. So another thing I like about StretchLab is if I look across the boutique fitness space, right, whatever their modality is. So if it's an Orange Theory, which is essentially, you know, boot camp type of setup, right? Or if it's a Club Pilates, or if it's a spin studio, a cycle bar, there's all sorts of brands out there, right? Modalities. I'm complementary to all of them because I'm essentially recovery, right? I'm wellness and recovery within the boutique fitness umbrella that is a value add to, using that Orange Theory example, all of their members, right? I've got 500 members and they're coming into classes. Orange Theory has a little bit of stretching typically at the end of their classes, I think depends on the location.
It's like 3 or 4 minutes. It's real quick.
3 or 4 minutes. And a lot of people bail on it, right? Like they're not sticking around, right?
Got to go to work or whatever. Yep.
Yeah, right. We're a value add for those folks. So I have never had any pushback from, you know, if I'm a massage studio, then they're probably not welcoming me in, right? Because we know some of those massage brands offer stretching, right? And even though I could talk through the difference between a massage and a stretching and how they also could complement each other, that's not as apparent to the broad population as I go work out, I'm sore afterwards. What am I going to do so that I can work out again in tomorrow or in 2 days? Well, I should stretch because that's going to help my body recover quicker. And where am I going to do that? I'm going to do that at StretchLab. So that has been a good relationship across multiple brands for us.
That's really cool to know. And yeah, I mean, it's a great strategy, obviously, like, and it's clearly working for the membership side. So back to kind of your origins into this. So May 2019 was the first store that opened. You own six today, I believe, right? So what's that journey been like, I guess, through COVID? And, you know, now we're out of COVID. Like, was it just after that initial location where it sounds like you blew it out of the water with memberships that you were kind of set on expanding to a lot more units? Or, yeah, like, you know, or did you sign on originally for a development deal of six and you kind of were on that path anyway, regardless?
So my path, I started with going through the sort of the whole discovery day and sort of sales process for Stretch Lab. My wife and I signed on with three initially. We did that sort of the second half of 2018. We kind of worked through it. We got into early 2019. And even before my first studio opened, we were making, as I said, we opened that studio with the north of 250 members. Leading up to that, I could see the potential. And so being in Charlotte, I had three licenses, which is essentially aligns to three studios. Those first three kind of, I was the first franchisee here, right? I picked the best markets and I said, okay, there's good potential here. There's other areas around Charlotte where we could put Stretch Labs. So I bought three more licenses before I even opened that first studio, right? Because I kind of wanted to pick a litter, if you will, of, okay, where are the best places to do that? So we did that. And yeah, then we opened first studio May of 2019. Second studio was soon thereafter, later that summer, August of 2019. Was negotiating. I was literally ready to sign a lease March of 2020. Thankfully, pulled back on that in time, renegotiated some of the terms of that lease, opened up the, and then signed it, opened up a third studio in November of 2020. And then it's kind of been a steady clip since then. You know, every, you know, one plus a year, I would say. It's not two a year, but it's not, you know, it's nine-ish months or so. You know, I'm building one now and I've got eyes on, okay, where do I want the next one? So we have six open. I've got 10 licenses right now within the brand. So I've got four more to open. And I generally know where I'm with those. It's all, to me, it's important for us because we are new, right? I've got to be in sort of class A real estate and location. So I've got eyes on my signage, my brand. It's easy for people to get to. They're already operating in there. So typically, we want to be in a, you know, an anchored shopping center that has a, you know, a higher end type of clientele already shopping there at a grocery store and things like that. So those locations are good for us. And so I want to be picky in where I put each studio.
This is definitely like most of the kind of fitness and wellness concepts. I think the more convenient the location, that's obviously a big driver and just helps out with foot traffic. So, you know, when you look at this, Steve, it's funny, we actually recently had a Hand in Stone massage franchisee on the show. And like I mentioned earlier, I've had a few ways back, you know, F45 franchisees and Orange Theory franchisees. Is there like a, for you and what you see, a, not talking best case, just a middle of the road kind of EBITDA that you think is realistic for units, you know?
Yeah, for us, it should be 20%. 15 to 20%, and you're running, you know, that's why scale is important for at least for me and where I want to go with it. Labor is my biggest expense by far, right? Where it's a one-on-one service. And so in terms of where that expense base is, you know, if I can keep my labor cost below 50% of my top level revenue, then, and then manage my other more sort of fixed expenses well, then I'll be doing okay.
You know, at six locations today with four more licenses to go, you know, what does your organization look like now? And what do you think it looks like at 10, right? Are you, and I think you mentioned your wife's in the business.
Yeah.
So are you guys kind of the, you know, let's say that someone calls out sick. Are you the one on the phone dealing with that to like staff that place with another flexologist? Or are you scaled out where you're not necessarily the first line of defense already, which is, you know, a good place to be?
Yeah, we're more the latter there. So we do have it scaled out. I think I'm in this kind of funny zone right now where I've started to scale and build that infrastructure, right? But ideally, yeah, I want some more units behind me, right? To cover those additional costs that I've added on. And it's, you know,
okay,
that's a balance that I think, you know, as you continue to grow, you've got to manage accordingly. You got to measure where you want to be and how you're going to get there. But yeah, our org, I have a director of sales and operation who is over all of the studios. Each studio has a manager within it, right? Is responsible for that. In some cases, in a single case, I have a woman on my team who oversees multiple studios as well. And that's really based on sort of her ability and time she's been with us and growth potential, frankly, that I see in her. And so we've got a manager in each studio, and then each studio also has sales, in addition to the flexologists, right? That's the magic. They're the ones that are doing the stretching. We've got sales associates also, right? That's glorified front desk. They're working leads. Sure. They're managing the phones. They're doing all the intakes. So, but yeah, that's what my org looks like. I've got a couple other roles in there from a marketing perspective. Obviously, because we're so labor intensive, I have a lady on my team who's filtering through all, you know, constantly are getting resumes, right? And that's very time. It takes a ton of time to do that. So she's doing that. She's driving our marketing. I've got also somebody who's responsible for quality. I view it as quality perspective. She's education, right? So she's making sure across six studios, let's say that's probably 40 to 45 flexologists, right? We saw once we got into two and three studios, we started to scale. And if you take your eye, it's not that you take your eye off the ball, right? But you get a lot of people in there, and some have been through training recently, others in long, you know, maybe it was a year or 2 years ago. That quality can go down, right? So we created a role where her responsibility is sort of top A+ quality in our studio at all times. If it's a first visit, or if it's the client's been here for 3 years, right? What are we doing to make sure that we're still value add, we're still progressing them? So I've got that role also. And that either my wife and I we're more sort of admin above it, right? You know, she's doing a lot on the payroll side. I manage all the build outs that we're doing. Sort of try to be more sort of working on versus working in the business, and, you know, sort of strategic looking out forward where we want to go. What does the org look like down the road? Things like that.
Yeah. And something you said that really resonates is, you know, you've got to maybe added some costs now that with scale will obviously even out those costs. But yeah, I agree. There's always this constant balance, it seems, of, you know, you're going to be opening more units. So like, when do you hire, you know, a certain manager who oversees locations, and if you find the right person. You know, I've heard other franchisees say where they hire that key person earlier than maybe they would like it to happen from a just purely financial modeling perspective. But, you know, if you know, hey, next year, 2-3 years down the road, I'm going to have X number of more units, like, we're going to definitely need that person then. And the extra cash flow, then it's going to be more than making up for the cost of this person. So it sounds like you're making the right moves as far as hiring the talent. You know, even if it's a bit early, it'll pay off in the long run. And even, you know, for you individually, what was kind of your background heading into this? Entrepreneurial or kind of more of a corporate background? What was the career path prior?
I was not entrepreneurial. I studied computer science at school back in the day. So for me, that was sort of during the dot-com era. Got, you know, I kind of lived through that and worked through that, you know, in my 20s.
Yeah.
My career sort of progressed into, and being in Charlotte, I ended up in the financial services industry, right? So I worked at huge bank for 20 years, and that was fine. And I was happy with that, right? I was, you know, treated me well. My career was growing, and I was not looking to get into franchising when we got into it. To me, it was more of, I came across it. Literally, I was reading the Wall Street Journal one morning, and there was an article on the front page about this new modality that had started popping up. At that point, it was kind of LA, New York, Chicago. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. Like, I wish we had one of those here, right? And so then that thought process evolved into, well, maybe here's a business opportunity. So that's what got me going down the path of looking at it and deciding, okay, is this something we want to do? Ultimately, obviously, we decided that we did. My wife and I did this together early on. She was doing a lot more than I was. Kind of, it was a lot of it was hers. I left the corporate world a little more than a year ago. Once we had 4 studios open, decided, okay, my time is better spent continuing to grow this business. So that's kind of when I made that transition.
Is it fair to say that you know, maybe you and your wife both strategically thought, let's wait till the business is at a certain point from a cash flow perspective? That way, when you leave, what was the source of income? Maybe it made it, let's say, like, less stressful to go full time on it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, I've got 3 kids, so it was very, you know, deliberate and, okay, you know, how are these businesses performing? Do I give up corporate salary and benefits and all those things that come with that type of job and go all in on this. So yeah, we needed to be at a certain level of scale. We needed to be, you know, have free cash flow, all of that good stuff for this to make sense for us.
Yeah. And I wanted to highlight that because I think it's important for, you know, maybe a potential first time buyer to hear that, you know, a lot of the media, and to call myself out at times, I mean, I've celebrated these stories, but I think it, and I try not to over glorify it, which I think does generally happen with like entrepreneurship, hustle culture, right? Where you just read these stories and they're amazing to read about and hear about, where someone goes all in on a business and like everything's on the line, right? It's like, we love drama. People love drama. But it doesn't have to be like that. And, you know, I think it's good to hear that someone like yourself, like you and your wife, took a very intentional approach with nuance, where you're like, hey, like, we're going to open these, but you're going to keep your job. And, you know, when we get it to a point where maybe it makes more sense, then, you know, you jump in full time. And I just think knowing there's ways around it. And, you know, there's other examples of folks who maybe strategically thought about, okay, like, I have income. Let's not just like turn that faucet completely off and start from scratch, because it can create, I think starting a business under financial pressure can lead to just short-term decision-making, where you maybe make the wrong decisions in the long run because you're like, I need cash right now.
I can very much see how that would happen for somebody. Yeah. So I did not want, I mean, it was my first foray into, you know, owning and operating a business. So we didn't know. We definitely didn't have it all figured out right out of the gates, and we're still learning right on a daily basis. But you know, once it was proven, right at that point, you know, it was okay. Is this a fad? Right? I didn't believe it was, but you know, you don't know until you get into it, right? And what's going to be the reception to it? Is this a sustainable business? Will people continue to come back? Can you continue to attract new clients in? And all of those things have proven to be true, that we can do that. So you're like, okay, there's a long runway here for this business.
Yeah. And speaking of kind of like, you know, there's trends within the franchise world, just generally with retail concepts across any industry. You know, StretchLab today, at least as of the recent FTD, has over 400 locations open and operating.
Yep.
And then there's, you know, Stretch Zone's really the only other brand for the most part in this space. You know, they had about above 300 locations as of the most recent FTD. You know, just from your thoughts of, you know, you've been in business for 5-ish years, right? Is there like a point at which you think there's market saturation for a concept like this? You know, how much more room to run from like a unit count do you think there is before, you know, maybe you're worried about, obviously it would be dependent to your like actual, what kind of territory exclusivity you negotiated, but just more macro, right? Like, is this a business where you think there could be a couple thousand locations across the country?
You know, probably across multiple brands, yes. A lot of it's going to just come down to obviously the size of the market, right, and the populations. But I think more from a brand perspective or a modality, right? I think we're still early innings in terms of assisted stretching, right? And I believe we are where yoga was, call it 15, 20 years ago, right? Like people that did yoga back in the 80s, 90s, right? I mean, there weren't a lot of that. There weren't a lot of yoga studios around, right? It became more mainstream, right? There's yoga studios everywhere. Now, will there be as many stretching studios across the US or across the world as there are yoga studios? No, I'm not saying that, right? But I do think there's a long runway ahead of us. And that's going to come down to people saying, okay, the benefit, especially for guys. I mean, frankly, we have a lot of conversation with prospective clients, right? Whose their wife or partner will say, you know, you should go to my yoga studio, or you should go to a yoga studio. And a lot of guys don't want that vibe, right? And then they come to us and they're like, this is great, right? This is nothing against yoga studios. I was an avid customer of yoga for a long time, right? But there's a general vibe that you typically have, and they all have their own unique brand and experience, right? But it's still kind of yoga-ish, right? That's not the way it feels in a StretchLab. So back to your question, right? If I can get that message out in front of more people, right? And they say, okay, this is how I could benefit from assisted stretching based on my lifestyle and what I want to do. I mean, the whole wellness thing is a boon for us, right? You know, be it sleep, be it recovery, all of the things that people are talking about now that we weren't talking about 5-10 years ago, COVID definitely sort of propelled that along also. Where I'm in the wellness space, I'm boutique fitness, but I'm definitely wellness. And that message continues to go, like people are going to be more open to it. And so, I think long answer to your question, Wolf. Yeah, I think there's a long runway ahead of this for us you know, there's going to be clearly there's going to be some top brands, right? And you mentioned like Stretch Labs, Stretch Zones are our top competitor in terms of just pure units and volume. We've got a pretty different experience between the two, right? So as long as I keep delivering what I'm going to do, right, and provide that great experience, then we'll continue to grow. And I think the brand will continue to it. Like, yeah, some markets are sold out, right, from a franchising perspective. So, you know, that will happen at some point. But I still think there's a good runway. I don't know how many Stretch Lab territories have been sold, but, you know, they're probably looking in at the 1,000 number, I would guess. Something like that.
Really impressive. The whole model, the way it's proliferated and just evolved. I was probably one of those people, honestly, who, you know, I kind of thought it was a fad, and it's so far definitely not. And even just, again, the anecdotal feedback I've heard from customers now, it's like, all right. I mean, if it's driving results like that, that's all you need to know of whether is this business going to last. And it sounds like it's just making a really positive impact. And I wanted to ask too for you, Steve, you know, what's your day-to-day like? You know, are you working, putting in 80-hour weeks at this point, or is it somewhat more manageable? And, you know, I ask these questions more to give the audience an idea of what it takes, you know, what they're getting into if they end up choosing a franchise.
Yeah. I mean, early on, I was working a lot more than I am now, right? But it was me, right? It was myself and my wife, right? But I was only doing it sort of after hours, if you will. So I was putting in 8+ hours a week, right? But that was across kind of my whole sort of professional life.
Including your full-time job.
Including my full-time gig. So back to sort of our scaling and, you know, what does your org and infrastructure look like? You know, now with the team that I have in place who's running the day-to-day, we have 4 out of 5 days during the week, I've got a meeting every morning with either my full team or with a specific manager, right, to check in. I just talk about performance, hiring, those are the biggies, right? Let's see if we want to do anything sort of new and different on the marketing side. So normal sort of business check-in, performance type of conversations. And then from there, if we're having a staff meeting, we have those once a month, right? And this is, it's early in the month for us right now. So I'll be at a staff meeting later today for one of my studios. So that might be going on. If it's payroll week, that's still my wife and I that are managing that. So we'll be spending time on payroll and gathering data there and processing that. So we still kind of, we're still mom and poppy if you come that, you know, from that perspective on managing some of those pieces of it. And then for me, it's okay, where's the vision, right? So right now my vision is built getting this next studio open, right? So it's for me, that's traveling down to Colombia at times, right? Eyes on construction, looking at, you know, I'm now coming on sort of renegotiations of leases. So it's more stuff with that where I'm having to spend my time. It's not day-to-day ops of the business per se.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a good spot. I think that's like, there's like levels to the game, right? And getting yourself out of the day-to-day so that you can start, you know, thinking bigger picture strategically, and also just having the time to work on, you know, what is like a more impactful conversation, right? Like a lease negotiation where, depending on where that shakes out, you know, that's going to impact you for 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, potentially, depending on the length of the lease. So that's awesome to hear, man. All right. Well, hey, Steve, this has been a super fascinating conversation. I myself never really gotten to speak to anyone in the stretching world from a franchise perspective. So it was just great to dive in. And, you know, for folks who want to follow you along or Stretch Lab, what are the best places online to do so?
Yeah. I mean, stretchlab.com is the first place to go, right? If you're like you, Wolf, you haven't gotten the stretch yet, go check out one that's nearby and go get one, right? Because it is life-changing. It's an awesome product and service. So stretchlab.com, and for me personally, LinkedIn's probably the best place. So you can find me on Steve Heitzman, got Stretchlab all over it. So yeah, that's kind of the best way to find me, and happy to engage with folks there.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll plug those in the show notes so anyone can check it out. Yeah, and thanks again, Steve. Hopefully we'll have you on again once you cross that 10-unit mark.
I look forward to it, Wolf. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Empires. We're coming to you soon with actionable insights to take the next step on your franchise journey. So make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen.